Music by guitarist Mike Moreno from his new release Between the Lines on World Culture Music. The composition was World of the Mariettes, one of eight compositions by Mike Moreno that comprised this recording. Mike Moreno on electric guitar, Marcus Strickland played tenor saxophone, Aaron Parks on piano, Doug Weiss on acoustic bass, and Kendrick Scott on drum kit. Mike Moreno is performing tomorrow at the Jazz Gallery at 290 Hudson Street near Spring with a quintet that features John Ellis on saxophone and woodwinds, Sam Yahel on organ, Matt Brewer bass, and Kendrick Scott on drums. And he's our guest for the first hour and change on this Thursday's edition of Out to Lunch. Welcome, Mike Moreno.
Hello, hello.
You say that one more time. Oh, you know what? I think I'm going to have to ask you. We didn't do a sound check. This is live radio, of course, on WKCR. Move over to number three, and let's see what happens there. Have I got you?
Can you hear me?
You know what? I cannot. You better move over there, then. I'm sorry. This is I was assuming those microphones would be good, and now we're having a this ought to be good.
Musical chairs.
There you go. Okay. Musical chairs. We got it. I noticed something was going on with the board here, but I just figured everything was good. But anyway, so now we're nearer each
day.
Other. Yes, there's some exercise. So anyway, welcome, Mike Moreno. At least until this evening or whatever sound check you do at the 55 bar this evening.
Right.
You're playing with Kendrick Scott's Oracle. Talk a little bit about how the music for this came together. This, I believe, is your first recording.
Yeah, this is my first record.
So does this represent music that you've been composing for a long time, or are you sort of putting together, you know, is it a summation of everything you've done up to that point, or was it focused on more recent interests?
Basically, a number of tunes that I've written since basically 1999. When I was still at the New School. So it's stuff written basically between then and like 2005, basically.
So over a six-year period.
Yeah, right? Yeah.
Is writing something that comes that you do a lot of, or is,
I wish I did a lot more of it. I'm always writing. Every time I play a practice at home, I'm trying to write. And, but this particular album, it was just, I felt these tunes fit together well as a record. So that's why I put these particular songs on there. But there were some that didn't make the record that, you know, I wanted to, but I felt like this was just concise.
Now, like a lot of younger musicians these days around New York, you produced the record. This is a do-it-yourself project.
Yeah.
With some of the most best known musicians of your generation in New York, as far as improvisers, either John Ellis or Marcus Strickland, but both leaders in their own right and
right.
Doing their own thing. Aaron Parks has been playing with Terrence Blanchard for a number of years. Doug Weiss, Kendrick Scott, whose label this is,
right? Yeah.
Very enterprising fellow, and your high school classmate, I guess.
Yeah, we went to high school together, and as well as with a number of other musicians that are in New York now.
Have you played this music with them before? Is this music that was played often on gigs, and is there a comfort zone?
Well, basically, since the music, some of the music on this record, like I said, is around 6 years old, so it's basically. And over the past 6 years, I've been playing the music. With different combinations of people, and this is basically what I felt this group of musicians was bringing something fresh to it. After 6 years, when I wanted to record it, I wanted someone to bring something fresh to the music, and that's why I chose these musicians here. So yeah, but John Ellis has always played in the band pretty much from the first gig, and Aaron Parks, we just recently started playing together, and, as well as Marcus Strickland, I've also always played with him ever since freshman year at the New School,
What brought you to the New School? A number of the Houston musicians seem to make that their New York pit stop.
Yeah, it's funny. A lot of people were going to Berkeley, and actually the answer is really simple, which is just they gave me a great scholarship to go there, and you know, it was in New York, so I wanted to be here more than I wanted to be in Boston, and, you know, the difference in amount of money that I got from them was just hard to turn down, so it worked out perfect, and I'm glad, you know.
Well, it sounds like you and Robert Glasper and, you know, Kendrick Scott and Jason Moran, for that matter, Eric Harlan, maybe Chris Davey, too. I'm not sure if he went to the same high school.
He went there. He's a bit older than us, so I didn't get to go to school with him or Eric Harlan or Jason Moran.
But you all came out of the same teacher,
yeah.
Robert Morgan.
I wonder if you could.
And so he seems to be ready to take his place amongst the major names of American jazz educators.
He's been honored by the IJE is jazz educator.
Well, what is it about him? How did he set up a program that prepared so many musicians to function in a creative manner in this business, which gets tougher and tougher to function in?
I think one of the best things he did was provide us with as many opportunities to play as possible. He constantly booked us gigs. We were always working. I mean, I was working in high school as much as I am now, and when we were 15, 16 years old, before some of us could even drive to the gigs, we were playing gigs and dealing with money and dealing with people organizing these functions and clubs. And so it was, you know, I don't think many people get to do that, you know.
Very practical aspect to it.
Yeah. And plus we were just playing standards all the time. I mean, when I moved to New York, I had a really broad repertoire of what songs I could play and sit in jam sessions, and you know, so it was a little bit easier for me to blend into the scene.
Now, in that school, is the jazz department also very closely connected to the other departments?
It is.
Is there an interface
between? It's such a small school. I mean, there was less than 500 people there. I mean, probably even less than four, and so it was a really small school, and. The entire school only took up about half a block, you know, a city block. So we all were just roaming the halls and going into different, you know, art areas, and it was great.
Was it modeled along the lines of NOCA in New Orleans, where people go to their own high school for the morning and then go to NOCA in the afternoon, or is it it's a full-time high school?
It's a full-time high school. Everything was in the same building.
So, and presumably you had to take an audition to get in there, so you'd been playing guitar before you.
It's funny, though, when I first heard of the school, I was going to audition as a classical guitar player, and I found out pretty quickly that I couldn't play classical, and then, I found out when I went for orientation kind of meeting, and the first time I met Doc Morgan, he told me, if you play classical guitar, there's really no place where you hear, not because you play classical guitar, but because there just wasn't a program. So I had to learn jazz, you know, at least some jazz chords and like to play a couple of jazz tunes within a few months.
But you'd been involved with classical guitar since you were, you know, a very young?
No, mm-hmm. Actually, I mean, I grew up playing rock.
Rock guitar.
And stuff like that.
You're a rocker.
And classical was just kind of like a something I dealt with in guitar lessons with teachers as a more educational approach to the guitar.
So what became the appeal of jazz to you?
I mean, I felt like there was a lot of leniency there to be creative, and I felt like I had something there, you know, something would be there. I could find something with that music to be creative with, and I never felt that I could be original with rock somehow, at least the stuff that I was listening to, you know. I didn't feel like I had any, you know, real thing to say with it. So,
were there any in Houston? Were there any guitarists who you were seeing firsthand who were helping you think of, you know, ways to approach it, or were you exposed to records early on? Did that happen when you got to high school?
Luckily, I got some really good records, you know, first, you know, off the bat, and I had some friends that helped me. A good friend of mine from my neighborhood that I played with all the time, you know, just playing, you know, covers of rock tunes and stuff. When he started going to college, the teachers there at San Jacinto College in Houston really gave him a lot of great records to check out. And so he would pass them on to me. And also I studied with a guitar player named Todd Vulo, who now passed away. But he was great and showed me a lot of stuff. And some friends of mine at my high school gave me some great records to check out as well. You know.
I see. We're speaking with Mike Moreno. Again, he's performing tomorrow at the Jazz Gallery with the quintet. John Ellis and Sam Yahel, Matt Brewer and Kendrick Scott. Will you be playing mostly music from the new recording, Between the Lines?
Sure, yeah.
That's going to be, will there be new material also? Things you've written since 2005? Or are you?
No, not today.
not then.
No, we haven't rehearsed any of that stuff.
No. So you come to New York, you get a scholarship to the New School, you arrive in New York in 99, or you got out in 99?
I got here actually in the tail end of 97. So,
97.
And it was just that the music that made it on this record started happening about 1999. Mm-hmm. I think the first song that I wrote that's on this record is from that year. So,
mm-hmm. so once you got to the New School, talk about that experience. I guess you got there. That's the same year Robert got there, right? Robert Glasper,
yeah.
Marcus Strickland got there that year.
EJ Strickland,
pretty good class.
Carlos Enriquez, great bass player who plays with everyone. And yeah, it was that year was by far the best year at the New School for me. It was the year where. Kind of there was no interference as far as the ensembles that we could put together there. And so my first ensemble at the New School was with Marcus Strickland, a great trumpet player named Justin Kaiser, Robert Glasper, and
that'd be
Strickland.
Ryan's brother?
Yeah, Ryan Kaiser's brother, and Carlos Enriquez on bass. And, you know, that's like a group that today if I got a gig at the, you know, another gig at the Jazz Gallery, like, I could call those guys. Like, we've been playing together for years, you know, and all of them have gone on to do incredible things in the music, you know.
Now, do you have stylistic affinities with them? Are there things, you know, that you're thinking about, certain vocabulary things or approaches that are distinctive to your generation or distinct, you know, that are generationally distinctive? You can approach that in a narrow way or a broader way or not at all for that matter. If that's,
yeah, I mean, there's definitely some things in common with all of us, but we also have a lot of different backgrounds. So, we all play pretty different, actually. I mean,
what are the things in common?
Well, we all there are records that, like, you know, the Branford Marsalis records and Brad Meldow and certain records that we definitely all checked out and play those, that repertoire, like, of standards that those guys played and some of the originals that they played that influenced our music. For sure. But.
So are there notions of form or maybe a broader sense of the possibilities of meter that you can express yourself in maybe then?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, actually, I think the first person to really start dealing with that stuff was Marcus Strickland from that group, you know, of us. And I kind of always looked up to Marcus, you know, in that way of writing. He really organized the stuff first, you know, before we all did, and was writing some really great tunes. And, you know, and after the first, second year at the New School, we were all writing tunes, you know, and all playing them together. So it all kind of just blended together and, you know, the odd meter stuff and the melodic kind of approach. You know, if you listen to any of our music, it's not going to be a bunch of notes. I mean, if you listen to a tune by Marcus or Robert, like, they're very melodic, you know.
Yeah, well, the tune we just heard, World of the Marionettes, is like that.
Yeah, I mean, you know, the harmony I like to be on the bottom and have most of the movement of the songs and, you know, and to be an entity of itself. And then the melody, I like just to be like a memorable kind of singing effect on top of it, you know.
Why do you think, you know, within your group, given your, you know, obviously very different backgrounds and, you know, from is melody such an emphasis as opposed to, let's say, you know, it might not have been so much of an emphasis 10 years before, but, you know, certain types of harmonic formulations or gigantic technique type of things.
Right. What? I think maybe a generation before us, it was more of a rhythmic kind of thing, especially like the M-bass group of people, like really odd meter stuff and really intricate melodies. You know, really incredibly challenging music. You know, that, you know, sometimes when I get that music thrown in front of me, I'm just like, oh, you know. So, yeah, it's quite different. I think it kind of turned around, you know, in the early '90s with people like Joshua Redman and Nicholas Payton and Roy Hargrove, who kind of really brought that soulful kind of element really strongly into the music again, you know. And not to say that it wasn't there before, but just it did change, you know.
Although I guess the metrical stuff remained, but I guess later,
yeah,
but,
I mean,
but a melodic, a more melodic approach to
it's
that.
It's a little smoother kind of metrical approach. Whereas it's not as obvious sometimes. You can't even tell when they're playing in an odd meter or the meters are changing it, because it's really smooth and they play through it really smooth. Mm. As well as sometimes, you know, you listen to something else and I can't even figure out what meter it is sometimes, you know.
It seems that, you know, although the influences are different, a lot of people your age have been listening to a certain esoteric type of pop music as well.
The alternative rock scene has completely influenced everybody. You know, Marcus Strickland's new record is called Open Real Deck and has, you know, a lot of that influence in Robert Glasper, you know, the hip-hop and kind of, you know, element is in there, as well as he plays tunes by Radiohead and he also has a
big church element, I guess.
Yeah, of course.
Music, sure.
And for me, it's more kind of the singer-songwriter approach, and so which is why this record here is filled with tons of acoustic guitar in the background and a lot of finger picking stuff. And
seems like with the internet, the webs of influence are much broader than they used to be.
It's pretty scary now for any musician that's starting to play music, because the more time that goes by, the more records that are made that you need to check out, and it's just getting, I don't know, man. 20 years from now, I would
you don't know what see, they're going to do.
People just—they're going to have to invent something completely new.
They'll do something.
Yeah.
We're speaking with Mike Moreno. Let's hear another selection. View from Above, composition by drummer Kendrick Scott, and performed by Kendrick Scott Oracle from a new CD called The Source, also on World Culture Music, Kendrick Scott's signature label, in which Mike Moreno has recorded his own new recording, Between the Lines. View from Above, and that feature, there's several different personnel configurations on this, and although I should have done this while the music was playing, we were having good conversation, so I didn't do it. So please bear with me as I decipher here. Obviously, Kendrick Scott on drums, playing tenor saxophone with Seamus Blake, Myron Walden on alto saxophone, Mike Moreno guitar, Aaron Parks on acoustic piano, Derek Hodge on acoustic bass. I think that's it. I got it. Not bad, not bad. Okay, how about that? And before that, we got we heard a duo between Mike Moreno and Aaron Parks from Mike's own recording, Between the Lines, also on World Culture Music. It was called Still Here. Mike Moreno is our guest on Out to Lunch for the first chunk of the show. He's performing with his own quintet tomorrow night at the Jazz Gallery. It will feature John Ellis, Sam Yahel, Matt Brewer, and Kendrick Scott. And he'll be part of Kendrick Scott's Oracle tonight at the 55 Bar at 55 Christopher Street, sets at 10 and midnight.
Yep.
So a happy convergence. And we spoke before the music played about Mike's formative years in Houston and at the New School here, and generational affinities, and all the great musicians from Houston who are kind of putting their stamp on the scene. Talk a bit about producing your own. I mean, it's a logistical challenge, isn't it, to put together your own record? It's another thing about today's musicians is that even more than ever, they have to be kind of mini entrepreneurs. You have to take care of not just the musical end of things, but, you know, there are many different aspects to sustaining a career that have nothing to do with notes and tones.
Yeah, exactly. And it's really time-consuming. And it's kind of hard to balance it, you know, to balance the time between working on your craft, writing tunes, and practicing your instrument, and trying to be on the phone and get all this other stuff together. But it's also, in many ways, more rewarding, because if you do everything yourself, you reap all the benefits. So, and you know, and luckily at the time that I did this record, I had just gotten off the road with of doing like a whole year of touring with Liz Wright and Joshua Redman. So I had money saved up, and I was just, I'm just going to do this myself. There's no reason for me to go with, you know, an independent label that's just going to basically take my record, and I'll never see a dime for it, you know.
Those are two pretty high-profile bands, I guess. Is that where you met Sam Yahel on the road with Josh Redman?
I actually met Sam.
Well, he's been in New York for years, but...
Yeah, that's, we kind of got to really know each other in that band. And actually, way before that band ever recorded a record, I played with them, and it looked like I was going to be in the band like back in whatever that was, 2001. We had got together a couple of days before September 11th, and you know, before Josh had recorded his first record with that band. And but later they decided just to keep a trio, and then a few years later I joined the band. So, but yeah, we got to know each other then, and Liz's band was great, and kind of even furthermore influenced me with the acoustic guitar and that style of playing, which is, you know, really present on this record, I believe.
Well, I guess, you know, and both of those musicians are, I mean, Liz Wright obviously being a singer, but Josh Redman and his approach to instrumental line are very melody oriented.
Yeah, of course. Yeah. And playing with Josh every night was incredible, you know, just to hear him, you know, do his thing, you know, and try to add to that, you know, especially when that band had already been playing for 3 or 4 years, trio, and way longer before that when they were playing every Wednesday at Smalls and things like that. I had been checking them out, and they had already had their thing well defined. And so for me to try to step in and add something,
you have
really
to find a space.
Yeah, of course.
And Sammy Hill has developed such a distinctive keyboard style.
Oh, yeah, yeah, of course. And so it was challenging, and I you know, I wish it would have, you know, the band would have kept playing a little longer, because by the end I kind of felt like I was starting to find it, you know. But we did a lot of playing within, you know, that time.
Mm. So that was your past year, more that happened when, 2006 mostly.
Actually, it was all of 2005.
2005,
and then we did this record right after beginning in 2006.
And in 2006, were you doing a lot of sideman work, or was that more sticking closer?
Yeah,
to
I was
home?
Playing with Nicholas Payton a bit, and that's another one of my heroes ever since I was in high school, you know, and really influenced my writing, especially since I was really into to Miles and Wayne Shorter, and Nicholas put his own spin on it, and I definitely transcribed a lot of his tunes and a lot of his solos. And
so you've been playing a lot of styles of music, very melodic, this very kind of linear pared down thing. The Nicholas has a very deep harmonic kind of approach to music. So many different flavors, many different options.
Yeah, today. Especially now, you have to do everything, because nobody is working enough to keep you on the ground, you know, with your feet on the ground. So I go from band to band all the time, you know, and I like it that way, you know. It's a lot of different influences and a lot of music to work on. It's always challenging.
How many different guitars do you play, and do you have one electric and one acoustic that you play? Do you have, you know, three or four different sonic? How does that work for you?
I have my standard guitar that I play all the time, which is a 335 Gibson, and with Liz, I used an old 1952 acoustic Gibson LG2, and also a Taylor acoustic, and. And recently I've been playing a nylon string guitar made by Roger Sadowski, and for gigs with Gretchen Parlato and some other people.
Because she uses the Portuguese sound and the bossa nova sound.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
It's very
and
suitable for that.
Yeah, and sure. So it's great. I mean, I try to get as many different sounds as I can, you know.
No, we're speaking with Mike Moreno. Again, he's performing at the Jazz Gallery tomorrow with his quintet, and tonight with Kendrick Scott and Oracle. We're going to hear something, to quote the proprietor of the Criss Cross label, I think, I haven't heard it yet, a burner. The proprietor of the Criss Cross label, Jerry Teekins,
exactly.
will not put out a session without, as he says, a burner.
So, a burner. Yeah, this is the burner tune, and it
it's
also features
Green.
Marcus Strickland. It's a twin tenor record. You know.
Very good. Yeah. Jimmy Green and Marcus Strickland, huh?
Jimmy Green and Marcus.
Who's the rest of the rhythm section?
Danny Grissett is playing piano, Ruben Rogers is playing bass, and Eric Harlan's on drums.
Courtesy of Jimmy Green, who sent Mike a
morning,
rough mix
this
morning.
This is only the second time I'm hearing it. I had to proof it, you know, before.
at least the CD player is reading it, so yeah. Our WKCR audience gets a first here. What's the
name
of
it? It's a rough mix also. The name of the song is Mr. McLean. It's a tribute
Mr.
to
McLean
Jackie McLean.
For Jackie Mack, okay. Music by the two tenor tandem of Jimmy Green and Marcus Strickland, with Mike Moreno on guitar. You heard his solo, Danny Grissett on piano. But since it's a forthcoming record, I don't remember now the bassist. Eric Harlan was the drummer, and Ruben Rogers.
Ruben Rogers,
courtesy of Jimmy Green, who sent it over the internet to Mike Moreno, his guitar player this morning. And here we are in WKCR giving you a preview. It's from a forthcoming crisscross date called Gifts and Givers. And the name of the piece was Mr. McLean, a tribute to Jackie McLean by Jimmy Green, one of his students at the Hart School of Music during the 90s. And Mike Moreno was on it. 25 after 1, Mike Moreno is our guest for this chunk, and we have a little more time with him. He's performing at the Jazz Gallery on Friday night with a quintet with John Ellis on reed, Sam Yahel on organ and keyboards, Matt Brewer bass, and Kendrick Scott on trap drums. And he's performing tonight with Kendrick Scott and Oracle at the 55 Bar, 55 Christopher, sets at 10 and midnight. And I'm assuming Kendrick Scott will be playing music from his recent recording, View From Above. I mean The Source,
excuse me.
Said View From Above. And Mike will be playing music from his new recording. They're on the same label, World Culture Music. Mike's new record is called Between the Lines. The first two salvos from this label under Kendrick Scott's leadership. We've talked about a number of things. Say a few words about the music you'll be playing this evening with Kendrick Scott.
Well, it's kind of a co-led band between Kendrick and Gretchen Parlato. And I'm sure some of you have heard Gretchen, but she's an incredible singer and mixes a lot of some of Brazilian-style music with some composers now. A lot of her arrangements are by Robert Glasper and... she does some songs by a great songwriter from my high school also that is not known on the jazz scene, but certainly in the singer-songwriter world, named Josh Meese. And so we'll be doing some of Kendrick's tunes, some of Gretchen's arrangements, and Gretchen even wrote some lyrics to some of Kendrick's songs. And yeah, so it'll be the Kendrick Scott Oracle featuring Gretchen Parlato.
There we go. Billing is we're still at a point where the billing doesn't matter. Doesn't matter that much. But years from now, who knows? What have you got lined up for the rest of the for the next 6 months or so? Tour or
I wish plans? I knew.
You don't know.
I mean, I've been playing recently with a great piano player that's on Sony, Eldar. So
are you on his new record?
I'm on his new record.
Oh, okay.
And so that, I'm sure there's going to be a lot of promo stuff coming up for that. I mean, we've already done some. And so that's going to be happening. And, I've been playing with a great tenor player, Jock Schwarzbart.
Oh, yeah.
And
he has sort of a pop thing, like an Afro-pop thing on his new label.
Yeah, it's really, really great music. And so we're going to be playing some more this year. And
so you're not really repeating yourself in any of these bands. Every one of the sideman things you've told me about is a completely different approach to music.
Yeah, it's pretty crazy.
So what do you do to put yourself in that frame of mind? Because, I mean, obviously you're playing yourself, but each of those areas has certain... I mean, you can't play the way you played, let's say, on that tune...
Exactly.
...in a bossa nova situation.
No,
you can't really play the way you might play with Josh Redman when you play with Liz Wright. They're all very different. So how do you put yourself in the frame of mind? How do you play with taste, I guess?
The easiest thing to do for me is to just use a different guitar. So with Jock, I use a nylon string guitar. With Gretchen, I either use my steel string acoustic or a nylon string. And so to me, I hear music completely different when I play a different instrument. So, that's the the easiest way for me to get in a different vibe. And you know, just listening to that music and really checking it out and finding what works best. And, you know.
Are you a big practicer?
I'm not. I wish I was. But I've never have been. But the thing is, I just make really good use of my time when I do sit down and practice, you know.
But so. Meaning, at one time, or I mean, in high school, you must have been every kid who plays guitar that seriously, you know, you weren't like a 7, 8, 9 hour a day.
I remember that type of kid. There was one day when I was in high school that I practiced 5.5 hours a day, and I was so proud of myself. that was just that one day.
Just one day.
But it's you know, that's the record for me. I mean, I wish I could say I did more, but I'd probably be a lot further along.
Well, seems like you're doing pretty well. Seems like let's hear another track then from Between the Lines, your new record. This one's called Forward and Back, and it features the full ensemble, this time with John Ellis on soprano sax, it looks like.
Right.
You on either electric or acoustic guitar, Aaron Parks on piano, Doug Weiss on bass, and Kendrick Scott, again, on drums. Yep. And then a little more conversation with Mike Moreno before our next guest comes. And we're here till 3 o'clock, though, on WKCR-FM 89.9 and www.kcr.org on the World Wide Web. Mike Moreno, composition called Old Why, no, it wasn't. It was called Forward and Back, and it's from Between the Lines, a new recording on world culture music by guitarist Mike Moreno, whom I thank for giving us making the last hour and 20 minutes go by so quickly with good music and good conversation. He's performing tonight with Kendrick Scott and Oracle. Music primarily from The Source. That gig will transpire at the 55 Bar this evening, 55 Christopher Street near Sheridan Square. Sets are at 10 and midnight. And tomorrow night you can hear Mike Moreno performing his own music, the repertoire that appears on Between the Lines and maybe some other things as well, at the Jazz Gallery at 290 Hudson Street near between Spring and Dominic on the east side of the street, across the street from the old Half Note.
Yeah.
Mike Moreno with John Ellis, Sam Yahel, Matt Brewer, and Kendrick Scott. So thanks, Mike Moreno.
Thank you.
And thanks for allowing yourself to be subjected to the third degree. You acquitted yourself admirably. This last tune is called Old Wise Tale. Again, from Between the Lines, Mike Moreno's new one on WKCR. But stay tuned until 3. There's much more to come.